to take for us to wake up? What is it going to take for us to stop war?
This crisis was invented in part by President Bush.
The problem is we're dealing with mites here and may have, and we don't have inspectors in there to know what he does have.
Sometimes at fair demonstrations we say 2, 4, 6, 8, separate the press and state. The press is acting as a cheerleader for a state policy.
Not in our name will you wage endless war. There can be no more deaths, no more transfusions of blood for oil.
Saddam Hussein is not an imminent threat to the country right now.
Fight for democracy, fight for liberty, fight for freedom. The real fight for freedom is here at home.
From doves to war hawks in a decade and turning a blind eye toward dissent. I'm Verna Avery Brown. This is Imperatives for Peace, Pacifica's Peace Watch. Congress is expected to vote on a joint resolution this week that will deliver President Bush the authority he wants to launch a major military attack against Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. And he's almost certain to get the bipartisan blessing of the majority of the House and Senate. House Democrats, just a decade ago, who opposed to Bush Sr.'s war against Saddam Hussein, are now throwing their support behind President-elect George W. Bush with uncharacteristic enthusiasm. Some constituents, surprised and angered at the sudden transformation from doves to hawks, are on the move. Constituents of Representative Dick Gephardt are conducting what they call a prolonged presence in Gephardt's home office, who last week helped Bush craft the language for war against Saddam Hussein, with or without the backing of the UN. Katie Shin is a former U.S. Army captain who refused to leave Gephardt's office at the end of the workday on Friday. She says it's important the House Minority Leader understand that this is not just business as usual.
President Bush wants to take this country to war, that is not the only way to solve the problem, that President Bush is not working hard enough on diplomatic means to solve this crisis. And in fact, this crisis was invented in part by President Bush. Had the weapons inspectors been allowed to remain in there, we wouldn't be at the point where we are now, trying to get them back in. I was constantly thinking about what use of the military the current president was making. And while I support the need for military for defensive purposes, I believe that this president at this time wants to use the military for an invasion which is not needed for our defense. Saddam Hussein is not an imminent threat to the country right now.
Katie Shin, a Gephardt legislative aide, met the demonstrators at the door and informed them that the representative was both unavailable and unchangeable on his position. Bill Ramsey, coordinator of the Human Rights Action Service Committee, has dubbed this Gephardt's war in light of the House leader's turnabout on the issue.
Well, it means that we're here to wait for him to return to the position that his aide told us was his position last Monday when 16 of us were here in the conference room and had a conference call with Liz O'Hara, who is his key aide on this issue. And she told us over and over again that we shouldn't really have much worry or concern because the congressman was going to hold out throughout the debate for a diplomatic solution. And then 2 days later, he signed on to the president's resolution. So we came back with that sense of betrayal that we had been told one thing, and the congressman had turned around almost immediately and done another thing.
Of course, the president's resolution calls for authorization of military action in Iraq, and I assume that is what you are opposed to.
Oh, yes, certainly. And that's what we've been working on with Representative Gephardt since June 17th, when three of our members first met with his staff in Washington, D.C. to let him know of our concerns and invite him to a town hall meeting here on September 20th, which he did not attend, but 400-plus of our members did.
Gephardt was, of course, among the Democrats in 1991 who oppose going to war against Iraq over the concerns that Saddam Hussein might destabilize the oil region and because of his occupation of Kuwait. But he and seemingly other Democrats apparently believe that since September 11th, which incidentally has not been linked to Saddam Hussein, but since then, a climate of fear has been created in the U.S. And some Democrats, I would suggest that Gephardt being one of them, now feel as though there's a much more serious threat to the nation if Saddam is, in fact, developing weapons of mass destruction. Are you concerned about that at all, that Saddam may actually be a threat?
Oh, well, we are concerned about anybody who has the kind of weapons that Saddam Hussein might have. But the problem is we're dealing with mites here and may have, and we don't have inspectors in there to know what he does have. And the international community through the UN has already decided on a set of resolutions that put into place a regime of inspections for the government of Iraq. And those inspections were going forward in 1998 when the United States and Britain decided to bomb Iraq again and called for the inspectors to be withdrawn. We want those inspectors back in. We don't need a new resolution in the UN. We need implementation of the old one, which had already destroyed thousands of weapons. And right now, the United States government's position is to delay the inspectors going back in. A week ago, they had reached an agreement with Iraq. They were ready to go back in. They could even go into the palaces as long as they brought diplomatic escorts. You know, the United States went right into the UN, went to the man who heads up the inspections, and saw to it that he now has a position that he's delaying those inspectors. So if Saddam Hussein's weapons are a problem, I think it's the U.S. government right now that is delaying the world getting into Iraq and dealing with those weapons.
Bill Ramsey of the Human Rights Action Service Committee. Italians took to the streets in droves this weekend, hoping to shock their government officials into rethinking its support for the potential U.S. war. 1.5 million Italians marched in Milan, Rome, Bologna, Florence, Naples, and Palermo. Signs in the crowd depicted President Bush's head on the body of a hawk, and others showed Italy's prime minister and British leader Tony Blair as Bush's pets, referring to their support for U.S. policies. In this country, 10,000 or more gathered in New York's Central Park Sunday. Free Speech Radio News reporter Josh Chafin was there and files this report.
Somewhere between 10 and 20,000 people showed up in Central Park, among them Colleen Kelly, who's the sister of Bill Kelly Jr., who died in the September attacks.
My only area of expertise lies in being Bill's sister and losing someone I loved very much. I am becoming consumed with the thought that our country may soon be at war, waged partially in my brother's name and the names of thousands killed last year in the terror attacks. I will never feel safe for me or my family if my country becomes a unilateral, preemptive, single-minded nation ruled by a powerful minority. When my organization visited over 70 congressional offices last week, not one could report a majority of calls in favor of war.
I'm here today as a media activist, and as a media activist, I take the Not in Our Name pledge.
Chair of the Interim Pacifica Radio National Board, Leslie Kagan.
And I take the pledge today as a Jew. As a Jew, because I know that the U.S. government must be forced to stop its outrageous financial support of the immoral Israeli occupation of Palestine. It must be stopped.
What's your name?
Ahmed.
Where are you from?
From the Middle East.
Are you an American citizen now?
Yes.
Where do you live?
Here in the Upper West Side of...
And what is the? I notice you're wearing a Free Palestine button. What does the Free Palestine cause have to do with the war on Iraq? Anything?
Because it is the same thing. The Israeli government is a terrorist government, and the United States is a terrorist government, and both of them are the same.
A lot of people might hear you say that you think the United States is a terrorist government,
yes.
And they would say, well, then why don't you leave?
Even if I leave the United States is a terrorist all over the world, in Indonesia, in the Philippines, in Colombia, in Argentina, in Brazil, in Guatemala, in Africa, in Pakistan, in India. The United States is wherever you go, you will never escape from the United States.
I have been feeling so isolated, so lonely, so convinced by the mainstream media that I'm out of my mind.
Actress Susan Sarandon.
Bush, from the very beginning, said, you know, you are either with us or against us. I don't know who the us is, but I say to Mr. Bush, this is what democracy looks like. We question. We demand to know answers. We will not give our daughters and sons to a war for oil. We here can imagine what war will do to human beings whose faces we will never see, whose names we will never know, whose numbers we will never know, all killed preemptively in our name. So I ask all of you, anybody out there that has a pencil and a paper, I'm going to give you some numbers. The number of the Capitol Hill switchboard is 800-236-5495. Leave a message for your congressman and tell them that you do not support a presidential blank check.
For Pacifica Radio's Imperatives for Peace, Josh Chaffin, Central Park, New York City.
On Saturday, the voice of Texans United Against War was over 1,000 strong in the state's capital. Carol Matulis of Austin Women of Color Against War, along with representatives from the Houston Coalition for Justice Not War and protesters from San Antonio and Dallas, opposed the Bush administration's push for regime change in Iraq. Pacifica's KPFT brings us the sounds of protests from Houston.
Women, rise! Men, children, rise! Black people, white people, rise! Asians, Europeans, Africans, Latin Americans, rise! 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 What is it going to take for us to wake up? What is it going to take for us to stop war? We are gathered today in defiance, with indignation at what our country, our supposed country, is doing for the promotion of national security, for the promotion of the American agenda, for the promotion of imperialism. But the people will speak.
In theory, we have a right to voice dissent. And I'm practicing that theory. I'd like to put it into practice, and let's make it a strenuous dissent.
A lot of people support us, actually, and it's interesting because it's different parts of community, and it's not just like, you know, the regular activist people. It's, we got all these religious people, we have older people, teachers, students, it's everybody.
George Bush told us that the reason we need to declare war on Iraq is because there was a need for arms inspectors. But the next thing we knew, that issue was going to be resolved. So then we heard about regime change. But actually, when you read the internal documents of the Bush administration, it's not about regime change at all, because they literally say that the problem of Iraq transcends the question of Saddam Hussein. So what is it about? The one person he can't lie to is our military, because they're the ones that have to do the dirty work. And they write that the purpose of their presence in the Gulf is to secure access to the Gulf oil. It's that simple.
I have just returned from Palestine just a few months ago, and to see the destruction of American guns over there is unspeakable. Because while there's an immediate on-the-ground Israeli and Palestinian conflict, there is a pro-American agenda to further the economic agenda in the Middle East, to further the American cultural agenda in the Middle East, to benefit American pockets, and I would say not necessarily the pockets of you and I, but just for the rich. That's this right. Must stop!
We feel that this war is really about oil profits and not about terrorism. And we feel that the people that stand to benefit financially from this war should be the ones to fight at the front, and that would be the CEOs of the energy companies and of the defense companies.
Could you also describe what you're holding?
Yes, we have a skeleton here. The vertebrae are made of oil because we feel that's the backbone that the administration is showing, and we feel that's the reason for this war, is for control of the world oil supply.
But should Congress capitulate to the president, should they do the unspeakable and give war powers to the president, we have to say the next day, no business as usual. We have to say we are not going to tolerate the subversion of the will of the American people. Be ready to occupy congressional offices. Be ready to stay home from work. Be ready to have teach-ins on your college campuses instead of classes. Don't buy anything.
Oil war. 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't want your oil war. 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't want your oil war. 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't want your oil
war. I don't think the war is to be left to the government, because the government can't bring an end to all this trouble going on now. I think it's the people. If we can unite and, you know, form a group that can bring some solutions to all these problems that are going on, I think this war would be a better place.
Sunday, KPFK's correspondent Michael Slate and Fidel Rodriguez spoke with international syndicated radio host and peace activist Casey Kasem and longtime anti-war activist Ron Kovic, discussing their opposition and why they support the Not in Our Name regime, or the Not in Our Name pledge, an event in Los Angeles attended by more than 10,000 people.
The main thing that this is organized around is the phrase, not in our name. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? What does that mean to you?
That it's not in our name, that this doesn't represent me. I'm not for this. You can't say that I'm American and I'm for this. I am American, but I'm not for this, and I don't want it to be in my name. So to me, that's what it means.
I'm not going to let this country rage a war against a people. I have no ill feelings towards anybody, nor do I want them speaking for me.
And if you could give a message to the people of the world, what would that be?
Not in our name. Don't let this war go on. Do what you can. Don't let anyone stop you. Voice your opinion.
Not in our name means, it's our name and then it's their name, you know what I'm saying? And then you have to differentiate who is us and who is them. And us means, you know, to me, the people, you know what I mean? And them represents, you know, who I would call the anti-people, you know what I'm saying? Because they're not working in the interest of the people, obviously, you know what I'm saying?
What brought me out here today is the war. Now, there's many reasons why people are out here today for the war, and I'm in for many of those reasons. First of all, no war. Second of all, don't be dropping bombs on people that are innocent, and you have any proof of all this stuff that's going on. Thirdly of all, I am a black woman. We have hundreds and thousands of black men in our prisons. Then when the war comes, you've got all these other black brothers out here. They're the ones that's going to go fight this war. And just the injustice, I'm just like, wait a minute. You want to have war, but still you're oppressing and suppressing black people still in America. And then when you get ready to have your war, then you want us to go fight it for you. And who's going to die, and who's going to come back maimed, and who's going to come back without a job, without honor, without respect, without the whole thing? You look at history. World War I, World War II, Vietnam, the whole shot. They came back, no jobs, no nothing. Living in the ghettos, in prisons, no money.
What brought you out to this demonstration today?
The fact that I don't want there to be any war, period. I think it's completely unjust to go to another country and murder a bunch of women and children. I feel sorry for what happened at the Trade Center in some ways and for all the people that died, but it's not worth killing millions more.
Do you think it's important that people here take a stand with people of the world?
Yes, I do, very much so. That we have to show the world that we are not like what the government says, that we're different, we have our own opinions, and that we don't agree with what our government wants to do. And we have to show the world that.
I'm out here because, you know, I've been watching the news lately, and I'm, like, really disgusted at what I'm seeing in the news. You know, this war in Iraq, I think it's wrong, and I just wanted to come out and give it some support.
If you could give a message to the people of the world right now, from your heart, from you, what would you say?
I would want the people of the world to know if what they see in the media is a portrayal of something against them, they should know that there are people like that really are really trying to fight for them and fight for their best benefits. And don't believe, you know, don't, like Chuck D said, don't believe the hype, you know, don't believe what you see in the media. It's a lot of people who really are against the war and, you know, just keep their head up.
Mr. Kasem, why are you here supporting Not In Our Name?
I believe in the United Nations. I don't believe in preemptive strikes. It's as simple as that.
What do you think about the turnout here today?
I think this is an inspiring turnout. What impressed me the most are the young people. They're here with us. And they're an inspiration.
I'm here with Ron Kovic here at the Not In Our Name Peace Rally. Tell me what your feelings are right now being at this event.
My feelings are that I'm just beginning and that I'm very excited and that we're not only demanding an end to this war, but we're demanding democracy now. And we're calling for Americans to begin to join us in this movement in behalf of not only stopping the war in Iraq, but changing our country for the better, making it a more beautiful place, making it truly representative of its people. We're going to make democracy come alive. We're going to stop a policy of horror and death and destruction. And the government is going to be returned to its rightful owner, the people of the United States.
One of the things that's going to be happening with this, not only the war on Iraq, but other wars that Americans have had to fight in, is the disproportionate number of people of color that have to fight in the military. Right now, say East LA, for instance, Roosevelt High School has the most recruits for the U.S. Marine Corps for the front lines. What do you have to say to the youth of America?
Don't be used. Don't be lied to. Don't be misled, like so many of my generation were being misled. If you're going to fight, don't fight violently. Don't fight with guns. Fight with the people. Fight with your own fellow citizens and fight to return this country to the American people. Fight for democracy. Fight for liberty. Fight for freedom. The real fight for freedom is here at home.
Outspoken poet and actor Saul Williams has committed himself to sharing messages of hope and inspiring many human beings throughout the world. Williams recites the Not In Our Name Pledge of Resistance, followed by Williams' discussion of his reasons for writing his new song entitled September 12th.
The pledge to resist. We believe that as a people living in the United States, it is our responsibility to resist the injustices done by our government in our names. Not in our name will you wage endless war. There can be no more deaths, no more transfusions of blood for oil. Not in our name will you invade countries, bomb civilians, kill more children, letting history take its course over the graves of the nameless. Not in our names will you erode the very freedoms you have claimed to fight for. Not by our hands will we supply weapons and funding for the annihilation of families on foreign soil. Not by our mouths will we let fear silence us. Not by our hearts will we allow whole peoples or countries to be deemed evil. Not by our will and not in our name We pledge resistance. We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war or for their religion or ethnicity. We pledge to make common cause with the people of the world to bring about justice, freedom, and peace. Another world is possible, and we pledge to make it real. We believe that as a people living in the United States, it is our responsibility to resist the injustices done by our government in our names.
Cable, the rubber for our tires, the oil for our car, the chips that make our cell phones and computers work, they all come from there, but they're not owned by them. It's the richest continent, but ironically the poorest people.
Not in our name. Will you invade
country? It's important in this society to be able to think for yourself, to be able to raise questions, to be able to question authority, to be able to grow and learn and think beyond what's given to you, because what's given to us is so much less than what is actually there. I do know that that which has been called terrorism and what have you, and that which is, you know, the number one creator of weapons of mass destruction, all that. Like, we are those things. Bush represents so much of the things that I believe we, in our moral sense, fight against.
Two autumns and I haven't changed enough. It's September 12th and the sky is falling. The sun has risen. A city built in five dimensions undergoing circumcision. 8 days under Judaic law. No, not in my name, not in my life, not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name. You built your empire with natives and slaves, like the truth on resurrect, waging war from its grave.
With awareness comes so much responsibility. The more you become aware of, the more that you have to discipline yourself, you know, in order to be a vehicle of that promotes freedom, true freedom, and it, you know, in its freest sense, the freedom that doesn't cost, the freedom that comes, you know, through ideas and ideals.
Big brother, RIP to the powers that be, overcome by the powers of being.
Everything is political.
Today we're going to be talking with Saul Williams, poet, musician, actor. We're going to be talking to him about a song that he wrote called September 12th for the Not in Our Name project, the Not in Our Name being people all over the country standing up and saying no, that we are not going to allow this government and its war on the world to be carried out in our name. Saul, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I got to say, man, listening to the song, it really, really grabbed me. I mean, I was there when you did your Art Speaks performance,
yeah.
And I watched as the audience was, you know, just enraptured with your performance, and especially when you did this, the Pledge of Resistance, and you started to talk about resistance to the war effort. I was wondering what inspired you to go from there to actually write this song?
You know, I don't really know. I think I'm one of many people. You know, I think there's a lot of us that have been looking for a way to add our voice to that voice of resistance, you know. And when I read the Statement of Conscience, you know, for the Not in Our Name initiative, I was inspired. I was inspired by the fact that, you know, there were groups of people thinking about ways in which we as Americans in particular could speak up against, you know, the regime that is now in office and what have you, constructive ways. You know, I was one of the many artists and people that signed, you know, that statement. And so the song itself was just something that came. It just came like a poem comes, you know. I just wrote it. I was working with a DJ at the time, and a guy named Musa, and he just gave me this beat, and I wanted to write something for it that was kind of more straight ahead hip hop accessible, which isn't really how I write normally nowadays. But when that started happening, it turned into this idea, which is, you know, it started off, you know, two autumns and I haven't changed enough. It's September 12th and the sky has fallen, the sun has risen, you know, and it turned into this thing that, you know, I can't even say I was writing it for the initiative. I was just writing a song when it came time for a chorus, though. And what fit was, no, not in my name, not in my life, not in my hands, that ain't my fight.
by your lies with not even a blink. What? Yeah, you want to put me on your blacklist? You can use my blood for ink, your communion to drink, in remembrance of the all I seen. Big brother, RIP to the powers that be, overcome by the powers of being.
Saul Williams speaking with Michael Slate from KPFK. The protesters were there, but where was the press? We'll be back in a moment after this.